morning, and I didn't dare say anything while he was here. This is going to be short. When he was done, I looked at the clock and said, that's longer than mine. I thought when he said short, it meant it was going to get over early. So apparently short up an hour north of here means something different than it does down here in Guernsey County. But I'm not going to promise this will be short either, but I want to try to keep it short because of the teacher's meeting following the service. And again, those of you that are teaching, interested in teaching, if the Lord, maybe in the last few weeks as we talked about giving ourselves in service to God, if the Lord said, you know, you could do that, you could teach a class, well, just come and sit in that meeting and hear it. You don't have to make a commitment. We're not going to sign you up. But if you just be interested, you come and hear what they have to say this evening. Revelation chapter 9, we're going to read the first 12 verses tonight and then just give you some thoughts about this book of Revelation chapter 9. Chapter 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him, the star, was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he, the star, opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was given to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. As we have been going through the book of Revelation, we are traveling through a timeline. Beginning in chapter 4, we have gone to the saints being called out and caught up to heaven. In chapter 6, the beginning of the tribulation period. We saw the seven seals opened in Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 6. Then in chapter 7, we saw the sealing of the 144,000 witnesses. In chapter 8, the seventh seal was opened and the trumpets began to sound. And we watched last week in chapter 8, at the beginning and through chapter 8, we watched the first four angels sound. Back in chapter 8 and verse 7, the first angel sounded. We saw the scorching of the earth. We saw the second angel sound in verse number 8, and we saw the troubles with the sea. We saw in verse number 10, the third angel, and we saw the problem that caused by the great star. And then we saw in verse number 12, the fourth angel sounded, and the sun was smitten. All these things are happening during the tribulation period to those who rejected Christ in this lifetime. Those who rejected Christ in this lifetime. The simple truth is, receive Christ and miss all of this. You say, well, the Christian life is difficult, it's hard. Yes, you have to stand against the current of the world. You have to be different from the drunkards. You have to be different from the murderers. You've got to be different from the thieves. You've got to be different from the cussers. You've got to be different from all the people that are out there. But I'd much rather be saved and be different than be like everybody else and end up in this bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 9. And here in the tribulation period, the angel sound, the first, the second, the third, the fourth. When we get to chapter 9, we find the fifth angel sounding. Let me go back one verse. Look at verse 13 of chapter 8. And John said this after the sounding of the first four angels. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by the reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. As terrible as the seven seals were, as terrible as the first four trumpets are. He said it's going to be magnified, it's going to be greater, the torment is going to exceed that in the next three trumpets, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. And he said these next three trumpets are called three great woes. Now, I don't think we understand the importance of that word. Woe is to just have no, absolutely no hope of getting out. No chance of getting away. And there are three woes to follow. We read about the first, the fifth angel in verse 1. We'll look next time, next week, I believe, in chapter 9 and verse 13 at the sixth angel. And then we have a pause till chapter 11 and verse 15 before the seventh angel sounds, which actually begins the pouring out of the seven vials. See, this chronological order of the book of Revelation gives us a complete picture of the coming years after the Lord removes His church. And here we read in chapter 9, if you're outlining, I'm going to give you this way. First of all, verse 1 to 12 are the fifth angel sounds the first woe. The fifth angel sounds the first woe. And then part number 2 of this chapter, from verse 13 to 21, is the sixth angel sounds the second woe. Now, I know it's very simple, and that's exactly the way the Bible's laid out, so that's what makes it so simple. But in this chapter, we hear the fifth angel sounds the first woe, and the sixth angel sounds the second woe, and that's exactly what he just said. There are three woes yet to come. And in verse number 12, as I read, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. God's judgment on the earth is in the midst of being poured out. We're over halfway through the first half of the tribulation. When we get to chapter 10, we reach the middle of the tribulation. So chapter 9 is right before the 3.5 year point of that 7 year tribulation. And God's wrath has been poured out. The earth has been scorched. The sun has been smitten. The stars have fallen from heaven. The environment's been affected. The atmosphere has been affected. The economy of the earth has been affected. And yet God says, I've got three judgments greater. Woe, woe, woe. Now, I don't know, and I'm glad I won't be here to vote, of which of these next three woes is the worst. Because when I think of this one in verse 9, and you know, I kind of hesitate talking about this because I don't want to give kids nightmares. But what we're going to read tonight could give an adult a nightmare. If we really think about it. And to think about what's happening in the first 12 verses of this chapter as that fifth angel sounds and that first woe is given, I want to give you, and I know I gave you the 2 points of the chapter, but let me give you three things about the first 12 verses and we'll go through them maybe quickly. But let me give you three things. Alright, letter A under number 1, the fifth angel sounds, is the deliverance of the locusts, verse 1 to 3. This is what we'll look at tonight. The deliverance of the locust. A bottomless pit is opened up and something comes up out of it. And it's described as locusts, but their sting is like a scorpion. So verse 1 to 3 is the deliverance of the locust, that bottomless pit being opened up. Verse 4 to 6 is the decree to the locust. God commands them something. And thank God that even in judgment, judgment is limited by the command of God. These locusts that are going to come up, if they were allowed to just wreak havoc as they wanted to, they would utterly destroy everything. But even in judgment, God measures it and tempers it and commands them, don't touch this, don't touch that, don't touch this, and here's the period of your torment. It's only this long. God is in control of judgment. You and I need to remember that. Anything we see that happened that we say, that's the judgment of God. God's in control of it. So we see the decree to the locust, and lastly, tonight we'll look at in verse 7 to 12, the description of the locust. And if the deliverance and the decree are not enough, the description will do it for you tonight. The description of the locust. So let's look at these three things here in chapter 9 this evening. First of all, the deliverance of the locust, beginning in verse 1. This passage could be titled, The Invasion of the Underworld. Because that's what's going to happen here at this point in the tribulation. Is an angel's going to come down from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit and unlock hell. And these things are going to come up out of it. You know, there is a teaching, and I'm not going to necessarily confirm it, but there is the thought You know, David, I forget who it was that said when he died about death and after death, I am a worm and no man. And when you get cast into hell, your body is gone, but your soul is still alive. But it's going to be tormented in that flame for all eternity. That flame is going to take a toll on your spiritual self. And in a sense, deform it. And we will look at these things coming up out of hell. I'm not going to step out too far on this, but I wonder if these are the inhabitants of the ages that have been there for 6,000 years, and this is what they look like when they come up out of there. Not going to teach that as doctrine. I just throw that out as something that when this bottomless pit is open after 6,000 years of history, what comes up out of it is something we've never seen before. It says in verse 1, when the fifth angel sounded, John saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. Now we saw back in chapter 8 and verse number 10, the third angel sounded and there fell a great star from heaven. We commented at that time that that star was not a Hollywood star. It was not a sports star. It was not a singing star. You know what Hollywood stars are and singing stars and movie stars and athletes? You know what they are? They're food for the fire. They're no better than anybody else is. I mean, one of them, and I won't get into it, one of them might say, well, I'm a superstar, and so people need to hear my opinion. No, people need to see you put a ball in a basket and shut up and go home. They don't need anything else. Doing that does not make you an expert on anything. And these that think they're so popular in stars, you know what they're going to do? They're going to fall. They're going to fall just like anybody else does. The Bible says back in here when he saw those standing before God, he said, I saw the small and the great stand before him. There's no respecter of persons with God. So the star we saw back in chapter 8 and verse 10 was not a person. It was a star. Hard to understand, really. A star that falls from heaven. You say, what is a star? Well, go out when it's dark. Look up toward the sky. See the little white twinkling thing. You remember you learned that when you were a kid? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. All right, that's a star. People have the wildest idea. They complicate what the Bible makes simple. Then they try to simplify what the Bible makes complicated. We need to learn that we don't know what we don't know, and we do know what we do know. That's very profound if you think about it. What is that star? It's a star, and it falls from heaven. Now, there's a difference when we get to chapter 9. You know how I know there's a difference? Because it says it different. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto earth, and to him. Now we know that this star is not a twinkle, twinkle little star. Now we know that this star is somebody coming down from heaven. It says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit. So this star that falls is, unlike the one in chapter 8 and verse 10, this one is a person, or a personality, or something different from the first one. Now many would suggest, and I'll just give you this, that star that's got the key to the bottomless pit is Lucifer. Now the problem is, he don't have the key. Look at chapter 20. If he had the key, he wouldn't get thrown in later on. In chapter 20, look what it says in chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. Same thing, right? A star. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. See, whoever this is in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 1 that is the keeper of the key of the bottomless pit is not Satan, because in chapter 9 he uses his key to open the pit and something comes out. In chapter 20 he uses the key to open the pit and something goes down in. And that's the devil. So the devil is out of the picture here. That's not the star. But the Bible does say it is an angel. Now, there are a couple verses that folks use to think that it is the devil. In Isaiah chapter 14, you know the story, where the Lord said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Fallen from heaven. But I would contend that Isaiah is past tense. It's historical, not prophetical. But what's happening in Revelation chapter 9 is definitely prophetical. So we can't take Isaiah chapter 14 and put it in Revelation chapter 9, if you can follow my thinking there. All right? Isaiah is historical. This is prophetical. So it's not the same thing. The Lord also said this in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. You can write down these references if you want. The first was Isaiah 14:12, then Luke chapter 10 verse 18. Jesus said this, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So there's some reasons why folks say, well, this would be the devil. But the problem is, Jesus said, I beheld, past tense, Satan falling from heaven. This is talking about when he came down at his expulsion way back in history. Not about this one coming down in chapter 9 and verse number 1. So here this star, I believe in Revelation 20, is called an angel. He is the angel of the bottomless pit. He opens it up and something is permitted by God to come up out of it. The bottomless pit, the Bible says in verse chapter 9 and verse 1. It's interesting to note that unto him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This word, this phrase, bottomless pit, is mentioned 7 times in Scripture. 7 times, and all of them here in the book of Revelation. There are those that are going to come up out of that place called hell, which is the bottomless pit. Now, I don't understand all the technicalities, and thank God I'm never going to understand all the technicalities of what hell is like. They say it's a burning fire. It said that Lucifer was cast down to the sides of the pit. But it talks about folks being cast into a bottomless pit, falling forever and ever and ever, while yet burning and in torment and in darkness with pain and agony and gnashing of teeth. My wife last night we got home from our trip and she was on her computer trying to quickly find a picture of heaven as described in Revelation 21. And she was looking at these different pictures on her computer and showing them to me, and we were picking them apart. All right, we were criticized. Nope, that's not right. Nope, that's not right. Nope, that's not right. We never found one that was right, that had all the gates of pearl, the streets of gold, the foundation, all that kind of stuff. Never had one that had that new Jerusalem all right down. And I told her, I said, listen, you're going to teach kindergartners, right? I said, it doesn't have to be technically savvy right here. I said, the ones that are really correct look kind of dull and boring. And the ones that look really exciting and gold are not doctrinally correct. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that the Lord had prepared for them. Nobody can draw a picture of heaven and do it justice. But you can draw hell. I've seen pictures of souls cast into a lake of fire, and that does it justice. Our mind can't comprehend the good stuff, but we can comprehend the bad stuff. And here's this bottomless pit mentioned in Scripture where the unbeliever goes. And at this point in history, yet in the future, it's going to be opened by this angel. And there's going to come up, it says in verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. The expression is, where there's smoke, there's fire. And when they open that pit, when they crack the top opening of that pit, as soon as they do, you can imagine the sound and the release of the smoke coming out that's been down there for 6,000 years, contained in the center of the earth. And now when it's opened up, the smoke that arises up out of it, because it says in verse 2, as the smoke of a great furnace, the intense heat has made a great smoke. And when they open that bottomless pit, the smoke arises out of that pit. The unsealing of this pit, which has been closed since its creation, results in such a smoke, the Bible says in verse number 2, that the sun by the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Have you seen the pictures of the wildfires in California? The devastation that the fire causes on the ground. But do you notice that you don't see any birds in the sky? You don't see anything flying through there? Because the sky gets darkened by the smoke of the fire and it kills anything that it comes in contact with. You can't breathe in smoke. I remember years ago when I was still working at the supply company, part of it caught on fire. And they called us late at night and we had to run down there and try to go in and get some stuff. And the fire was at the back side by there. But in the offices where we needed to get some stuff, we went in there and the smoke. And for 3 or 4 days after that, I could feel that in my lungs. That was a small fire. Imagine 6,000 years of this fire burning and the smoke now getting ready to pour out and infiltrating the air and polluting everything it comes in contact with. There came out a great smoke. But that's not it. Look at verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Locusts. Now you know what locusts are. Locusts, we more commonly see grasshoppers. All right, about 3 inches long. Playful looking little things, no big deal. Rub their back legs together, make some noise. But these aren't grasshoppers, these are locusts. Grasshoppers are fairly harmless. Locusts are not harmless. But can I say this? These ain't no ordinary locusts. They got tongues like a scorpion. They sting men. We're going to get to their description, their faces, their hair, their crowns, their teeth, and all that. These are no ordinary locusts coming out of this fire. I don't know where these creatures came from or who they are or what their origin is, but I know this. I don't ever want to see one. We were down in North Carolina this week. We were walking on the beach. I think it was one evening and the tide was way out. We were walking real close to the tide and it was rolling and going out. Just a beautiful place. I could have stayed longer. And as the wave just rolled in and went out, I looked down and there in the wave was a tiny stingray. Just about that big around. Now that's a cute little thing. Did you touch it? Are you kidding me? I know enough about those little things that they might look cute as a baby, but that little tail still got something at the end of it that if I touch it, it's going to whip up there and get me, and it won't kill me, but it isn't going to feel good. These are no ordinary locusts. You don't want to touch these. I can't even imagine touching one. We'll get to that in a minute. But just seeing one would give you a nightmare. Let's look at these locusts. The Bible says in verse number 3, and there came up out smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power. Notice again, God's in control. Even to these creatures coming out of the bottomless pit, who gave them power? Not the devil, not the angel of the bottomless pit, but God Almighty, as the preacher said this morning. God Almighty, who's always in control of everything, is the one that gives them their power. And it says, and power was given unto them, or was given unto them power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. So they look like locusts, but they sting like scorpions. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You remember that? Muhammad Ali. All right, here's these locusts that come up out of the fire, and their tails are like that. We're going to see more of that in a minute. And the scorpions of the earth have power. So these creatures are delivered from the bottomless pit to terrorize the earth and its inhabitants as scorpions. Again, locusts are dangerous enough in their own habitat, but a scorpion, you don't want to meet anywhere. You don't want to mess with them anywhere. Notice it says in verse 4, and it was commanded them, again, the theme going through here, who's commanding them? God. God is in control even of judgment, even of his wrath being poured out. It was commanded them. You know, when God judges, he doesn't judge in anger. He judges in justice. He never loses his temper. He's never reactionary. God always knows what he's doing. That's why he's so unlike you and I are. Because everything he does, he's in control of himself. And when he pours out this judgment, he commands them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Notice this in verse 4. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Now back in chapter 8 and verse 7, the grass was scorched. So that grass is either browned and scorched, and he's telling the angels don't, or telling the locusts don't bother that. Or, again, we don't know the timetable between these trumpets, and the grasses begin to grow back again. But the command is to these locusts, don't touch the grass. Then he says, neither any green things, which is an indication that the grass is not yet green. Don't touch the grass, neither any green things. He says, neither any tree, one third of them, by an earlier trumpet. Had already been wiped out, but two-thirds of the trees are still there. And the locusts are commanded not to eat of that which comes natural to them. They're not to go after the grass. They're not to go after the greenery. They're not to go after... That's what locusts attack. Crops are what they go after. And the Lord says to them, I don't want you to do it. These are not real locusts. They don't harm any vegetation. But the Lord says, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. You know, I told you this when we studied chapter 7, those 144,000 And again, it's so important to rightly divide the Word of God. Those 144,000 are 12,000 Jewish male virgins. 12,000 Jewish male unmarried men from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. They are not the church. They are Jewish males in the tribulation to whom God comes down and puts the name of God in their forehead and says, be a witness to me throughout this tribulation period. And they are God's witnesses, and they are protected from the Antichrist. They're protected from the locusts that come out of the bottomless pit. I'd like to be one of those witnesses. Now, I'm satisfied to be saved in the age of grace that I'm saved in right now and go to heaven at chapter 4 in the rapture and miss all of that. If I were to be in that time period, I'd want to be one of the 144,000 witnesses. You can stick your tongue out of the devil. He can't touch you. The Antichrist can't do anything to you. You're sealed by God. The locusts come out. But imagine this. You're one of those witnesses, and no, those locusts can't touch you. They come flying by you. They see the seal of God in your forehead. They go on their way, and you can rejoice about this. But while you're rejoicing, you're watching the rest of the world around you be devoured by these creatures. There's no pleasure in that. There's no enjoyment in that. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. It was commanded them. Even in the darkest of times, God is in control. Whatever happens in your life, it's not the tribulation. You might think it is. Gas hit $3 a gallon. Somebody betrayed you or lied about you or slandered or stabbed you in the back. Oh, we must be in the tribulation. No, that's life. But even in those situations, God is in control. You know, I had to tell myself that yesterday. Driving up Route 77, hitting Virginia and the blessed West Virginia Turnpike, and getting lined up in stop-and-go traffic in the middle of West Virginia on the turnpike. Just stopped there, going inching a little bit at a time, and just looking at the clock and watching it and trying to convince myself that patience is a virtue. And that God is in control. And you know what you do? We get up there, I think, two times on I-77 coming up. We saw accidents. One was in Charleston. And it just rained right before we got there, and a big old delivery truck, like for 84 lumber or something, the cab with the long bed at the back of it, had somehow hit the water when the rain came and spun around, and it had not been for the guardrail, it would have gone over, but it went backwards into it. And they had all the lanes funneled down, and you look at that and say, well, if the traffic had been fine and I'd have been here 10 minutes earlier, I'd have been right here when this happened. We went a little bit further, and here was a truck in the median, a pickup truck that was on fire, and a van and a car on this side, and it didn't look like anybody's hurt, but one of the girls, they were checking her ankle out, the ambulance was coming, all that, and you're thinking, if we hadn't been stuck in traffic back there, we'd have been here 15 minutes. God's in control, and I'm not saying we would have been there when it happened, but those things run through your mind. We know that God is in control in everything that happens. Well, even in the darkest of hours in the tribulation period, God is still God. And He's still in control. For the atheists and the agnostics, it'll drive them nuts. Because even at that time, God is still in control. Notice in verse number 5, and it was given to them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. I've never been bit by a scorpion, not volunteering to have it tried out. I know those fellows that Lewis, you didn't do this, did you? Volunteered to be tasered. Have you ever done that? Okay. I had a boy that was dating my daughter Sarah years ago, and he had volunteered to be tasered. I told her, get rid of him. All right, run him off. You don't want a guy that volunteers for something like that. All right, I've never been stung by a scorpion. I remember in the Marine Corps being out on bivouac and all that and putting the nets over there because you don't want the scorpions to get you. Well, here's these locusts, the Bible says, that had the power of torment as a scorpion for 5 months. Men are their prey, but they're not allowed to kill them. Only to hurt them, it says in verse 4. Only to hurt them, it says in verse 10. Only to torment them, it says here in verse 5. The sting of a scorpion is not fatal, but it's extremely painful. And it doesn't happen to them just one time. It's not like a guy gets stung and says, I'm glad that's over with. No, for 5 months. They're continually doing this to the inhabitants of the earth. There is no place to go. There is no place of safety. They torment them 5 months. 5 months, they say, is the normal lifespan of a locust. From May to September. I don't know that this is going to be a May to September, but that's the normal lifespan of a locust. It's 5 months. It's interesting to note, this is the fifth trumpet. It's in the fifth verse. They're going to sting for 5 months. That number five just rings out. You know what happened in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5? Adam died. The first man, Adam, died in Genesis 5:5. The number five is the number of death. You know what happened in the fifth book of the New Testament, Acts chapter 5 and verse 5? Ananias gave up the ghost, dropped dead. Watch out for those fives. Here is a creature that's going to be released at the fifth trumpet for 5 months, but they are going to wish that they could die. It's going to tell us that in just a moment, verse number 6. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. That's going to be a time period that people are wanting to commit suicide and not able to do it. God will not allow them to be able to take their own life, as they are being tormented for 5 months by these creatures. Those under this judgment cannot escape. Any attempted suicide will fail. Imagine not being able to get away from the judgment of God. Are you claustrophobic? Do you not like situations where you can't be in control? Well, here's a place where you seek death and cannot die. You are completely under the hand of God. And His judgment is complete. We've seen the release of the locust. We've seen the desire or the decree to the locust. Then look, if you would, verse 7. We'll go down through these fairly quickly. The description of the locust. The description of the locust, beginning in verse number 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. Now, I said at the beginning, this is not your ordinary locust. Now, there's nothing said here about the size of the locust. Nothing in all. There's 8 different things given about these locusts, and none of them tell us anything about the size of them. Now, the average locust, again, naturally right now, is about 3 inches long. So I'm going to go with that, not locking that in. That's not my final answer. But I'm going to say it's about 3 inches long. But notice, this little 3-inch, you know, you see a little grasshopper. Oh, isn't that cute? Let's catch it, put it in the jar. You're not going to want to catch this one. When you look at that thing, what in the world is that? It's a locust, but it looks like a horse. It's shaped like a horse. That's not like any locust I've ever seen before. Maybe we better leave that one alone. These locusts, the Bible says, were shaped like horses prepared unto battle. They are an army of locusts coming after the inhabitants of the earth. Second of all, it says on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Crowns speak of conquering. No man will be able to stop these. Nothing man will be able to do will be able to hinder them. We've talked about this in the judgment of God. The wildfires in California. Man does his best to try to control those. And we, to a limited extent, can do it. The volcanoes in Hawaii with the lava that was flowing over and destroying air. There's not a thing in the world you can do but get out of its way. The problem in the tribulation is you can't get out of their way. They're all around you. They're like an army of horses surrounding you with crowns like gold upon their head. Nothing will stop them. The Bible says their faces were the faces of men. I'm beginning to not like these things really quick. A shape like a horse, a crown on its head, and a face like a man. The face like a man indicates intellect. Now, I know you've got a dog that's as smart as anything that ever walked, but animals do not have intellect like human beings do. All right, we saw a guy in North Carolina had 2 German shepherds. One of them's pretty bright, the other was dumb. All right, the face of a man indicates intellect. And so these creatures know what they're doing. They can plan and they can plot, they can organize and they can see things. You know, a locust is a locust. They're just in a herd, they're in a mob, and they do what they do and it comes natural. But these ones have intellect, they have faces like men. Notice it says in verse 8, and they had hair as the hair of women. Face of men and hair as the hair of women. I would challenge you, get one of Clarence Larkin's books, Dispensational Truth of the Book of Revelation. An engineer, the kind that draws. He was an engineer back in the early 1900s, and he drew one of these creatures, and it'll put chills down your spine. To see this little thing shaped like a horse with a crown of gold on its head, with a face like a man and hair like a woman. And what does it say? And their teeth is the teeth of lions. You know, if I were to wake up this evening startled in my dreams and wake up and look in front of me and see this thing, I'm not even going to say what would happen. That would be a frightful thing. That's what these things are. It says the hair like the hair of a woman. Can I just stop and say this? That must tell me that in the Bible, there's a difference between men's hair and women's hair. Because he had the hair as the hair of a woman. What makes a woman's hair different from a man's hair? Well, the only thing I can find in the Bible is the length. The length thereof. All right? So in the Bible, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, there's a difference between a man's hair and a woman's hair, and it's the length. You know that because it says in 1 Corinthians 11:14, doth not even nature itself teach you that it is a shame for a man to have long hair? So the pictures you see of Jesus with the long hair, wrong answer. Call for a lifeline. All right, that's not Jesus. I have a sneaking suspicion the Antichrist will look pretty much like that because people have bought into that lie. But the ones that have long hair are women, and the Bible says that these creatures have that long hair like a woman and teeth like lions. They can inflict terrible wounds. Have you been bitten by mosquitoes? Have you been bitten by bed bugs? Have you been bitten by fire ants? Remember one time when Matt was little out in the Micronesian Islands, he had no idea what they were, and they were playing hide and seek, and the nice loving native kids over there said, here, you hide, go hide over there, and they put him on top of an ant hill that was fire ants. And he didn't stay there very long. He came off of that really quick. The bite of those different things. All right, here's these little 3-inch things buzzing around, an army of them with crowns on their head, looking like horses with the face of a man, the hair of a woman, teeth like a lion, and they're flying all over, biting everybody for 5 months' time. Verse 9. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. What is that? Their protection. They cannot be killed. They've got a breastplate on. Nothing you can do to stop them. You can't kill them. Now, I mentioned this morning that I was going to preach on John, not John Paul, but John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Because there were those back in the 60s that said, that's who this is. Faces like men, hair like women. You know, we look at their haircuts now, they don't look like, they just look silly and ridiculous. But they don't look like, but back then at that day, it was faith, and then the breastplates was their guitars. Yeah, that's what the Bible prophecy people say. That, see, they were in the tribulation now. There they are right there. Hair, faces like men, hair like women. We better check their teeth out real quick. They probably got false teeth to hide with. And the breastplates was their guitars in front of them. Now, I don't think they were really serious. I hope they weren't. But these creatures that come along at that time are going to be something fearful. Verse 9 says, and the sound of their wings. See, they're flying creatures. The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. The buzz of these locusts coming through. You remember the cicadas we had here a few years ago? That the sound of them just was eerie and strange and not pleasant. And we're glad they're gone for 17 years. Well, that's the sound that's going to be there as these creatures are just buzzing around everywhere for 5 months period of time, biting the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 10. They had tails like in the scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. All these creatures are going to wreak havoc on the earth. The Bible says it this way in Psalm chapter 2, verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. I think that's what's being described here. Vex them. Not kill them, vex them. For 5 months of time. Verse number 11. So verse number 7 through verse number 10 give us the appearance of these locusts. Verse number 11 gives us their authority. Notice it says in verse 11, and they had a king over them. Again, we say this is why these are no ordinary locusts. Write this reference down, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 27. Proverbs 30, verse 27, Solomon makes the observation, the locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. Bands, like the Beatles, you know, bands. The locusts have no king. Queens have a queen. Ants have a king. The locusts don't have one, but these do. These are not your ordinary locusts. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name, so this angel is not, again, not Satan, it's not the devil, and this is not the angel that had the key to the bottomless pit. This is an angel over the bottomless pit, which is probably, if we could say it, the equivalent of Michael the archangel. Michael is the captain of the Lord's host, the captain of the angels, the armies of heaven. This angel right here is probably the captain of the demonic hosts. And the Bible says that angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. You know, Abaddon and Apollyon are the same word. They both mean destroyer. And that's what this angel's in charge of, the destruction of the inhabitants of the earth. Say, preacher, why is his name given in Hebrew and Greek? Because there are Jews that are going to be affected, and there are going to be Gentiles that are going to be affected. The whole world is going to be affected by these creatures that come out. Both names mean destroyer. Verse 12. One woe is past. One. And behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Man, I'd close the page right there. I'd close the book right there. I wouldn't want any more of this. You know what we're going to find out in the second half of the chapter? That after all this torment and all this pain and all this judgment and agony, you know what men are going to do? They're going to shake their fists at God and challenge Him. Even in that judgment, they're not going to repent. They're not going to cry out for mercy. Under the extreme judgment of God, with all this that's going on, the Bible's going to tell us later in the chapter that they are going to confront God and challenge Him after all He's already done. It's a battle you can't win. You know the best way to win this battle? Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior now. Trust Him now. There's a world out there running askew, running here and there tonight on a Sunday evening, going about doing whatever they want to do, and they're ignorant that this is going to happen very shortly. If that trumpet sounded tonight, this stuff starts tomorrow. This stuff starts the next day. And once it starts, it's boom, 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 one after another. And once they get through one woe and think they've survived 5 months of torment by the scorpions, then the sixth trumpet sounds and the second woe comes. I'm preaching to saved people. You don't have to worry about this. But you've got coworkers and neighbors and family members and friends that when eternity rolls around, they're going to look back at this and say, you knew that? You knew about this? You sat at Bible Baptist Church and heard this all explained and you didn't warn me about it? Oh, but they've got their church. They've got their religion. Do they have Jesus Christ? That's the only thing that's going to save them from this thing to come. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for